Hey there everyone, my name is Thomas Seggy. I'm the 2019 Pride of the Hide, and welcome to the Kink Closet. Today I'm joined by Dick Savvy. Say hello.
Hello, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
So, we have Dick here, and you were the 2012 Sydney Mr. Leather, that's correct?
Yep, that is correct.
Well, thank you. How do you feel being here?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for agreeing to be part of this. I'm happy to have you in our kink closet, so thank you for coming inside my closet.
I'll come inside your closet any day.
Oh, of course you would. I'm going to get to the question. So, tell me who you were before you were a fetish person.
Who I was before I was a fetish person? Well, before I was a fetish person, I guess I would say I was a very sexual person.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a child, I was the kind of person that you'd describe probably like a little puppy dog.
Mm-hmm.
I used to fuck pillows. I went one step further. I had a Raggedy Ann doll. This was from the very young age and kept on going till I was probably 9.
Mm-hmm.
There's even stories of me teaching my brother and my cousin how to do it. And my parents catching us.
That poor Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah, look, I was a very sexual kid. Actually, it's funny that you ask me such a question at this point of time in my life, because just recently, Christmas, I had a great conversation with my father, who, I'll be honest with you, I never fell far from the apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up from two very kink parents, and during the conversation and telling him what I've been up to in the last few years and my dreams and that and where I want to go for the next couple of years to come, he kind of looked at me and said, well, you had no hope in hell with the two parents you were given, because we're both very big kinksters. And I came from a poly family.
Yep.
I had a sister who was a stripper.
Yep.
And there's even stories of me being a young kid, being in the rumpus room with her practicing, and me having my little plastic chair with my nappies on, whipping my leg up onto the little plastic chair and rolling my hips around, just mm-hmm. copying her in the background.
Yeah.
As a child, I was always interested in sexual stuff.
Yep.
I also remember as a teenager or a young teenager back early 90s, there was a show on Channel 9 called Sex by Sophie Lee. You probably too young to know about it.
Yep.
And it was a weekly program, and they used to talk about all different topics about sex and that. And I used to watch it with my mum. My mum was separated from my father at the time. Me and my little brother used to watch it with my mum. And pretty much they talked about all sorts of stuff, too, even bondage, sex workers, sexologists and counsellors and all that kind of stuff. And it really interested me. I knew in my life I wanted to do something in the sexual field. And I think when I was about 20 in Brisbane, I went to a Hellfire Club with some girlfriends of mine. And I got put up on stage, which I've always been a bit of a showman, so I was kind of eager to experience it. And I was put on stage, and I remember having a female dom whipping the shit out of me as I had a male in front of me pulling on my nipples as I'm tied to a St. Andrew's cross and kneeing me in the groin. And I was hard the whole time, to the point I blew. And even I got off, and the girls that I went there with went, oh my God, that was such a show. You really got into that. And I did. And I'd say, from being a high sexual kid to being early age exploring, I found the kink side kind of got to me more. But then again, I look at things like cross-dressing and all that on the kink side, as well as BDSM, and I'm very much into wearing females' lingerie, stuff like that, and the quirky sides of kink. It's not all about leather and rubber and all that kind of stuff. So I've eventually created a business around it. I run a business called The Naked Barber.
Yes.
I've been doing that for 10 years this year.
Very well known here.
Yeah, very well known around the world now. I'm fortunate enough now to be actually become and doing what I've always wanted to do, even as a child, and that is to be in touch with people in the kink fetish yep. scene, to help counsel them, guide them in certain ways, if it's to events or even to how to play sexually, mm-hmm. As well as groom them.
Yep.
And it's a brand and a persona, I guess, I've created. And from that, I've created visual porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I've put on erotic events or fetish events,
yep.
as well as charity stuff, like I did the slave auction, which donated up to 18 grand for Akon back mm-hmm. in 2012 and 2013.
Yeah.
And then I followed it up again the year before last, where I was asked to go over to IML to judge for the International Boot Black competition. And I raised funds to help me send over there, so I recreated it again.
Now, you were the first Australian to judge there, correct?
Yeah, I was the first Australian to go over and judge in the IML competition. I was the judge for the International Boot Black side mm-hmm. of things. But yeah, they got me over there not just because of the success of my title year back in 2012, but mainly because of my work as the Naked Barber and the erotic films that I was creating, and that here in Australia, they wanted a judge to look at the side of not so much the craftsmanship,
yep.
but the sexual side and the connection that a boot black would make with their client or their subject. So
from what I'm seeing there, what is your take of sex and kink together? How are you kind of seeing that in your eyes?
Sex and kink, in my eyes, to be honest, and I believe it's different in everyone's eyes, in my eyes and from what I've learned over the years, sex and kink can be two totally different things. You have your people that love to wear kink stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that they're going to be sexually kinky, but yep. they like the social side of it. They enjoy the community side. They enjoy wearing
yep.
that stuff and amongst others. Then you get the others that may not even wear any leather or be any of that, but they'll be dirty fucking pigs in the bedroom and, you know, into rope play and into nipple torture and ball torture and everything, you know, that a lot of the what I call dress-ups aren't so much into, because they're just dress-ups. And then you get the other side again that are into both. That do both.
And
so
when you get to their place and they pull out the drawers and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see what's happening yeah. now.
But then you get the disappointment where sometimes you might meet someone at the club that's fully into the yeah. fetish gear and all that. You get home and they're so vanilla, it's not funny. Look, there's so many different types of kinks
yep.
and so many different people see kink as a different element as well. And I guess the beauty about my learning of this has become from the last 10 years of exposing myself more of it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I live it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people I know go to work,
yeah.
9 to 5, their office job, they wear a mask, and then on the weekends they want to break out and go to the fetish clubs and
yeah.
do all that kind of stuff, where to me I'm probably quite the opposite. It is my work and yeah. all that, and sometimes I can see it now just as work, so I prefer just relaxing around in normal clothing, or even sometimes go to these fetish events and people say, oh, you're not wearing all your leathers, Richard, and it's like, well
this is what I do all day
and... exactly, for work and that. So, and I'm still amongst my, it doesn't make me less of a kinkster or a fetish person, or and that's it. We've got to stop judging people on what they wear, but
yep.
also stop judging them to what they are in the sack as well,
yep.
or what they're like sexually, because we're a makeup of everything. And I think every element or every part of the community, being dress ups to being both sexually and dress ups to just being sexually that way. We all make up one community.
Exactly.
We all got an understanding, and I find it's more accepting too than most other communities out there. If you're looking at the gay side or the straight side of kink, which I like to say I'm a big part of both
mm-hmm.
here in Sydney, and it just gives me a bit of broader understanding on how it all works and all that. But I find that we only work well when we have that understanding of what kink is instead of judging so much.
Yeah.
And start judging ourselves instead of each other.
Yeah, well, we all, like, kink is, there's elements of it that link us all together.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a special feeling that you have with it because you're doing something that is what we're told is not exactly the norm for something, which actually could be different in your situation where you've actually grown up in that household where it might have been more acceptable for it.
Look, in a lot of ways, I guess what I see as kink, as I said before, is totally different to what someone else sees. And a lot of it's got to do with your upbringing. Mm-hmm. A lot of your kink stems from your upbringing.
Yeah.
Look, I'm into jockstraps. My father was a cyclist. So there was always jockstraps hanging off on the clothesline and all that. Most of the stuff I look at from my childhood has created my kink stuff today. And I hear that so much with my clients or my peers that I talk to. Nearly all of it stems from your childhood. I just didn't come from one of those religious schools where you get ranked a lot and caned and all that. So I'm probably more into caning people than being caned myself. But I'm sure if I went to one of those all-boys schools, I would have been right into getting caned.
Of course you would have been. I'm going to ask the question. So with, because it's on my mind, with your parents being so, like being poly and being a kink household, as you said, did they help you get into kind of kink scenes in your home, or were there any kind of...
No, there wasn't any helping. There was just, especially how sexual I was as a child, there was never any shame.
Yeah.
So I was never taught to be shamed. I think that's probably me compared to most people I meet at work or in social elements in the kink scene, is that's the one thing that I'm so glad that I've got no shame. So many people, if it's your kink lifestyle or whatever, it stems with shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never brought up to feel shame about stuff, even my raggedy hand dolls or the pillows I was doing or any weird stuff. As a kid, I was not made to feel ashamed for it. So
I think that's also then transcended into your adult life, because if there's one thing that I could say is you definitely come across like you have no shame with what you're doing, and it shows in your work and your brand as well that it
I hope so. Shameless slut, I always like to say. But
there needs to be more of you.
Look, and I think there does. I think today's society, we are getting a lot better. I think there's more probably parenting a bit like the parenting I got, which was probably a bit not so norm back in the 70s and 60s and that, but now it's become a lot more norm for parents to be a bit more open with their children and to treat their children not so much like children, but also like friends and children, which was very much like my parents' upbringing and stuff like that, so... Yeah. Hopefully we'll see a whole new generation of more confident people with less shame about sex and sexuality in the future and who they are as people.
Yeah, well, as we said, confidence is sexy with that kind of stuff as well. And that's kind of a part of this podcast, is to give people the confidence to have the discussion, to talk about it as well. And hearing all these different stories sparks little gems inside people that they didn't know they had. Well, thank you very much, Richard, for joining me on The Kink Closet. How do you feel?
Thank you for having me. I feel good. Good. Yeah, no, thank you. I think that went well.
Thank you for coming out of The Kink Closet with me, and I hope to see you around very soon.
Yeah, you will do.
All right. Thank you.